No, it's been a little bit since I recorded another episode, but I was waiting for a special guest to get here. Welcome to Nightly Connections. I'm your host, Stephen, and I have Miss Amori Jackson sitting next to me. And we got a couple of things to talk about, but she's being a little bit goofy.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, she's all giddy right now. Right now, also, I have a headache, and I'm also tired at the time of this recording, but we're going to get through it. And forgive me for you guys hearing all the clicks in the background and all the background noise. I'm inside right now instead of out in the office. So the three main things that's going to be on our list to talk about today, would you like to read them out or shall I?
I'll go for it. Depression is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And depression is a group of conditions associated with elevation.
Wrong side. Even though that is pretty much what it is.
Or lowering of pressure or mood, which is depression or bipolar disorder. It can be both, to be honest with you. And there's different types of depression as well. There's deeper depression. There's there's a lighthearted depression, and there's sleeping depression. So there's multiple forms of depression. And then the next one is anxiety. Anxiety is a huge one for a lot of people, not just for adults, but kids also have it. And anxiety is intense, excessive, and persistent worry and fear about everyday situation, fast heart rate, rapid breathing, sweating, and feeling tired or may occur. Those things are just a little bit of what can happen. Anxiety can go into many different, deeper things as well, you know.
When you're lashing out, when you're constantly upset or mad all the time, there's different feelings that go into that. And we'll definitely dig deeper into that because, especially at the beginning, whenever I started this podcast myself, 2020 was a rough year for everyone. So we'll definitely be digging into that here shortly.
And then the third one is PTSD, or better known as post-traumatic stress disorder. And you're probably thinking, oh, that's just, were you in the military? It's not just military.
No.
Honestly, it's more than military. And it's any traumatic experience in your life, to be honest with you. It can be, you know, your childhood, that you had a horrible childhood, or you could have a terrible experience happen, like such as a car accident, like myself, or just anything in general that's traumatic for you, then that can occur. You can have post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD.
That could be any childhood experience. That could be a birth, for example, child's birth could be can trigger PTSD.
You know, we're looking at a definition here, and I'll just read it short. Is I can't see that.
It's a condition of persistent mental and emotional stress occurring as a result of injury or severe psychological shock, typically involving disturbance of sleep and constant vivid recall of an experience. That basically what that means is that it could be something that you do in your everyday life that could just simply trigger it. Military, in that matter, is the most common that we hear about PTSD whenever someone's been overseas or someone's seen combat. Simple thing as fireworks or a car backfiring could trigger that PTSD for them.
You know, and PTSD and anxiety kind of go hand in hand, to be honest, continue that. I do see something that we're looking up. It says that more than 3 million U.S. cases per year of people who have PTSD. So it's not something that, you know, you need to be in fear of. It's just something that can happen in your life that can cause that. And it's not the funnest thing ever, but it's something that can happen.
And also, PTSD does have to be clinically diagnosed. So if you feel as if you have that, or if you feel as if that you had a traumatic experience that you cannot get over, my recommendation is to go see a psychiatrist or talk to your physician to get recommended to a psychiatrist to get that under control.
And you're probably thinking, well, what if I can't afford that? you know, there's many people that are willing to work with you as far as clinical things go.
Yes.
I work in the healthcare industry myself. I'm a CNA. And there's many places I will work with you as far as a payment plan or, you know, go there according to your pay. And don't count yourself out because I don't have insurance. You know, technically by law, the hospitals have to treat you no matter what. So if you feel like you're having a PTSD moment, go to the hospitals right away. They have to treat you, and you're thinking, well, what about the hospital bill later? They can write it off, and I can get into more about that later about how I got PTSD, depression, and anxiety. All three of them occurred, especially PTSD, and my medical bills got written off, and the hospital will definitely work with you on that.
As far as another thing of PTSD, I know you probably don't want to go into full detail of what happened to you in, I think it was
2019.
Yeah. I mean, 2019, you were coming up to visit us.
We can actually go into detail if you would like to. I really don't mind.
Okay. Go right ahead. You know a little bit of the story, and I'll tell my side of it as well. Wish that Kelly was here to tell her side.
Yeah.
She was there too. I'm pretty sure it was a traumatic experience for her too.
I can speak on behalf of a little bit of Kelly. I don't think she would care. But so how it occurred PTSD was just not because back in 2019. It all started when I was a month old. I was yelled at. My biological parents started yelling. And I didn't know any better. And they would just sit and let me cry. And so when somebody starts yelling in my face, PTSD occurs. I don't know it because I was a baby, but it's in my brain because that thing that still sits in your brain. And throughout many, many other situations that I've occurred in my life, PTSD has been triggered, such as sexual abuse and things like that. That can be very triggering, and PTSD can really set in for that too as well. Certain TV shows that were on while you were, rape is another one. I that's kind of a deep subject for another time, but that can really definitely cause triggers for PTSD. And that's another one where, how do I put this? Where a certain TV show comes on. I know for me, I was physically raped when I was 13, and that was very traumatic for me, and I cannot watch a show due to it because every time it comes on, I think of that person and that memory comes back. But let's go back to 2019. I was living in New Mexico at the time, and I was on my way up to Oklahoma to get my divorce. And from that point on, the last thing I remember was I was in Texas, Alamogordo, Texas. I was not too far from here. I didn't know there's a storm. Normally I'm pretty good about driving and knowing what storm there is, but I didn't check the storm.
That storm actually dropped out of nowhere. You're talking about the snowstorm.
Yeah, I'm talking about the snowstorm that I didn't know about. I had worked the previous night 2 to 10 as a CNA, and as soon as 10 o'clock hit, I left one of my good coworkers. She said, "Hey, be safe," and I drive at night because it's so much better than during the day. You don't have a lot of idiot drivers at night. But anyways, the last thing I remember is getting gas in Alamogordo at a trucker stop. It's the TA trucker stop there in Alamogordo, and I don't remember anything else after that. I wake up to Steven and my now ex-husband, to Kelly and to my ex-husband's mother in the hospital. I don't remember if my dad was there, but my dad was there.
He was there.
And I had a tube in my mouth. I do remember that. I do remember screaming. My neck was in a brace.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what happened, but Steven does.
I was actually at work at the time that this all occurred. At the time, I was working for a pawn shop. Due to copyright reasons, I'm not going to say what pawn shop that was. Oh, excuse me. But I was working at the pawn shop at the time. I was got a call from Kelly, and she was just frantic. She was screaming. She was crying. And I'm like, calm down. Explain to me what's going on. And she simply stated that Amori was in a car accident. I'm like, okay, where? And she couldn't tell me exactly where it was. But then eventually I got her to calm down, and she told me exactly where she was. It was off the 11th Street and Highway 160. No, 11th Street and I-44 corridor.
Headed to Denny's.
Yep. You were headed to Denny's to meet Kelly for breakfast or lunch, or I don't remember. It was around lunchtime. So I wait till my other assistant manager gets to the pawn shop, and I tell her that I gotta go. I'm having to deal with stuff. And I let my manager know. I let my district manager know as well. And I get to the scene of the accident. They've already cleared the accident up. They've already towed the car. I'm like, okay, so what hospital is she in? They tell me that, oh, they took her to St. Francis. Okay, so I head over to St. Francis. Get there. Cop lets me know what happened. Lets me know that a ticket for her wasn't written because all of her paperwork was in order. It was just a... In the sense of the word, it was a hell of a day. It was a hell of a day.
And I then, 2 days later, wake up.
Yep.
Steven apparently lets me know later on that I tried to punch the nurses and the doctor.
Yes.
And I was frantic, and they had to knock me out at the scene because I wanted to knock the doctor, EMTs out too as well. I'm not that violent of a person, to be honest with you, but
no, but you were violent that day.
Violence is not the answer, let me tell you that. But just to speed things along, just to let you know what had happened, there are injuries I received. I still have it. It's going to be there permanently, but it's better. I have a T10 vertebrae fracture. I had what's called cerebral palsy. It's a drooping of the face. I had left-sided weakness and right-sided weakness, and I had 8 fractured ribs, a fractured sternum, both eardrums blown, and it was a really bad accident. I had a 2016 Chevy Cruze. That Cruze is my favorite car in the whole entire world, and it looked like an accordion. I have now since then recovered, but let me tell you a little bit of PTSD moment, and then we can move on to the next topic. So I had to stay in the hospital for a week, and that was very traumatic for me because I couldn't eat properly, drink properly. As much as my dad was there, you know, taking care of me, he stood right by my side every step of the way, and so did Steven and the kids and everybody that was involved in my life at the time, up here in Oklahoma. And they had released me from the hospital. Yay. Hooray me. It didn't stop there. I got down to the van, which that was your older van, wasn't it? Your tan one?
I don't think it was a tan one. It was my Mazda. It was the white one.
It was a white van.
Mazda MPV.
I looked at the van and I started getting this feeling of worry in my body.
Yep.
And then I get closer and closer and closer. And then I sit down in the car and I start crying, panicking, frantically worrying. And this fear in my body started happening. I started shaking. And that's where anxiety comes in, too. You know, that's just PTSD for you. And many things can trigger PTSD. But
the funny thing is with car accidents, I still have my PTSD moments from 2012. Kaylee that's my daughter, my youngest daughter. She was 10 days old. And we were in traffic, normal, driving. I go to adjust something in her car seat, but I'm not looking back. I'm following traffic, and I can feel in the back seat. The guy that was in front of me, he didn't have any tail lights at all, so I didn't know he was stopped. I was going maybe 10, 15 miles an hour, and I slam into the back of him. Totaled our little Dodge Neon out. Sometimes when I get behind the wheel of a car, it flashes back. It's something that can't be helped. It's something that can't. It's just little itty bitty triggers that take place.
For me, it's another thing is that I cannot make turns. Sometimes I have to wait for all the cars to go in order to turn anywhere. If I'm going left and it has to go with deal with oncoming traffic, that's a PTSD moment for me. So, but we can go into our next topic, which is depression.
Feelings of severe despondency and dejection.
Depression has occurred in my life, all through my life, to be honest with you. You know, it's really, really happened due to what's happened in my life, very traumatic experiences. As I shared with you a little bit earlier, of me not having my biological parents, I never lived with them, but it caused deep depression. I never got diagnosed with depression until I was later on in my life, and I have chronic deep depression. And what chronic deep depression looks like is just basically wanting to sleep, not wanting to live, and just not wanting to be there, you know. That's another one. It's very much something you don't want to deal with. As far as last year, I was having a very bad time in 2021, May of 2021. If it weren't for Steven and me being around Steven and some friends of mine, I wouldn't be here because of my deep depression. And I finally got seeked help because I'm not one to seek help for myself. So depression is nothing to mess with. If you don't feel like medication can help you, or you don't want to get on medication, there's other ways to help your depression as well. And there's also the National Suicide Prevention Line.
If you feel as if you're going to harm yourself, excuse me, something's coming back my throat. If you feel as if you're going to harm yourself, if you feel as if you can't stand living anymore, or if you have to reach out, if you guys have me, if you find me on Facebook or you find me under Duality Fix as well, that I do another podcast with that, or you can find me on Twitter. I'll put my handle up on the landing page on anchor.fm. You guys, my line of communication is always open, but the guys at the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, they are professionals. They are trained to deal with scenarios like this. So if you feel as if you're going to harm yourself, or if you feel as if you're a danger to yourself, I suggest giving them a call. You can also text them as well. That number is going to be 800-273-8255.
And there's some definitely, we go back to the definition. There's some clinical depression causes is personality, family history, giving birth. That's a huge one for those mothers out there. Postpartum depression, loneliness, alcohol and drugs, illness,
stressful events. Most people, like at car accidents, a stressful event, bereavement, personal relationships. You're getting divorced. You broke up with a longtime girlfriend or longtime boyfriend. Things like that trigger this. Some people say that if some people's constantly saying, I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm okay, I'm all right, continue to check in on those people because they may not be all right.
Illness, you know, let's go back to this COVID pandemic here for just a minute. That can cause a lot of clinical depression too, because you are not able to help yourself. As I stated multiple times before, I have seen in a facility, a skilled nursing facility, is depression. When somebody has lost their limb, or they are not able to help themselves and who has been independent, they can have some serious depression because, you know, they cannot help themselves. I'm not just talking about the older generation that we have. It's in the younger generation too. Anybody that's been injured, any illness or anything that's happened, that can happen too.
I have a friend on Facebook that I just recently found out he was involved in a very terrible car accident. Let me see. I'm not going to state his name on the air, but I'm going to pull it up real quick. I'm not going to state his name on the podcast, but as I stated, he was involved in a very, very bad car accident. It was not deemed his fault, but he is currently in the hospital right now. He's fighting for his life. And as I look at these pictures, it's really, really hard to actually look at him this way, because that's not how I remember him. He's also military as well. He's National Guard. He's Army. But if you guys want more information on that, I will get more information on it. But he does have a GoFundMe page set up for his medical expenses and life outside of the hospital, because it's going to be very, very hard, especially with him. His body was badly burned, over 90% of third-degree burns on his body. He's constantly having skin grafts every other week, from what I understand. The last update we got from him was on March 9th. That was his birthday.
Looking at these pictures, they're actually pretty sad to see somebody just laying up in a hospital bed like that. And the way he looks now into what he looked prior, that's some pretty brutal stuff there. But depression is just, there's the very surface. There's, like I said, there's different types of depression. And if you feel like you cannot move or cannot go on, see your physician. Trust me, if you have a good physician, they'll sit there and listen to you. I know that for me, I have found that medication actually helps me. Taking a medication called Trantelix. It's a very expensive medication, I'll tell you that.
Medication is not expensive nowadays?
True. But it's helped me. I'm more motivated. I am more willing to get up and do something. You know, I'm going to school to be a nurse. That's motivated me enough to get out of my depression. But the next topic is anxiety. Anxiety is a huge factor. Depression and PTSD are just little players with anxiety.
Depression and anxiety are pretty much brother and sister at this point. It's a feeling of worry, nervousness, and unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Let's see. And then, of course, again, these topics that we're going through, they have to be clinically diagnosed. If you feel as if you have any of these symptoms, reach out to a healthcare professional. And again, if you feel as if you're a danger to yourself or to others, contact the suicide prevention hotline. It will be in the description on this podcast. The five symptoms of anxiety: you're feeling nervous all the time, restless, tense, having a sense of impending danger, panic or doom, having an increased heart rate, breathing rapidly, hyperventilating, so to speak, sweating, trembling, feeling weak or tired, troubled, concentrating or thinking about anything other than the present worry. There's more things that go into that. And I'm really surprised that most people have not updated this list, because there's more things that literally go into an anxiety attack. Zoning out. If you're constantly zoning out, that's an anxiety attack. If you're lashing out, that's anxiety. Anxiety buildup. I speak from experience. Let me put it that way.
So do I. The very much having PTSD and goes into with the anxiety, you know, having bad relationships, that can cause a huge one for me, especially. I know that most of the people have experienced. Most people have experienced the anxiety around being cheated on, or, you know, just the abuse and having that worry that are they going to come back or anything like that. But I know we didn't touch on anxiety very much, but there's lots out there. You know, Mayo Clinic has a great site if you want to look up on Google. Just don't Google diagnose yourself, please.
No, please don't. Please don't. You'll be looking up something for anxiety and then all of a sudden you think you have cancer. Don't do it.
It doesn't work out that way. It doesn't work out very well. Go to your physician. Really do. I'm not saying doctors are everything, but just don't self-diagnose yourself, because then you can go into very other problems, but that's not why we're here. With the depression, with the suicide, with the PTSD, you know, me having those problems has not stopped me from doing what I'm doing today. It may have put a pump in my road, but I came on here to talk about it because I'm finally ready to talk about what's been going on with me for many years. Steve has known me for four years this year.
I just thought about that. You said pump, not bump. You meant to say bump.
I meant to say bump. I'm tired too. I apologize.
Oh, goodness.
But I've known Steven for 4 years, and he's known me many, many things. And my mom knows me my whole entire life.
I will say this. Your mom hates to see my phone number flash up across the screen.
Too many accidents.
Yeah, exactly. But you guys, the biggest takeaway from this, and I can't say it any louder, is if you feel as if you can't handle life anymore, if you feel as if that you don't want to be here, trust me, there are people that still want you here. There are people that still love and care about you. They would rather see you on this side of heaven, so to speak. If you feel as if you cannot talk to any family member, reach out to me. Again, my Twitter handle will be in the description of this podcast, and I have Twitter downloaded. You can DM me at any time, and I will be glad to talk to you. But I recommend the professionals over at the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. Again, that number is 800-273-8255.
And I'd be more than happy to listen to. I'm a big advocate for listening to people who are having problems. I reach out to me too, and I have Stephen Wilkin put out my Instagram name and TikTok. Look me up on TikTok. Promote myself here.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
Just watch my TikTok. You'll get a kick out of it. Trust me.
There we go. On the next episode of Nightly Connections, I will be going in more into detail on the Stop Bullying, Speak Up campaign. So you guys may want to tune in to that. That'll be in 2 weeks. This has been your Nightly Connection. Have a great night.